Thank you for invitation and for a possibility to give this talk here. It's a report about our recent project with jointly with Leonid Chekhov. And well, idea is the following, that there is a notion of symplectic groupoid going back to well, I don't know who invented it first, but Alan Weinstein introduced a natural symplectic structure on symplectic groupoid, and for special case, which I will describe in a few minutes kind of in more details, when the object of symplectic groupoids are upper triangular matrices, it was in details studied by Alexei Bondal, who kind of wrote explicitly Poisson structure on the space of symplectic groupoids. So on one side, we have this symplectic, well, basically Poisson structure, Bondal Poisson structure. On a unipotent real upper triangular matrices. And by matrices. And the second player in this game is if mirror space of well, TGS of genus G surfaces with S holes equipped with the Goldman bracket, Goldman Poisson bracket. And to define, well, this Goldman Poisson bracket is defined for any surfaces, even if there is no holes. but when S is greater or equal than one, there are special coordinates on this space introduced first by Thurston, I guess, like shear coordinates. Well, are compatible with the Poisson bracket in the sense that they provide like something sort of Darboux coordinates for this Goldman Poisson bracket. Darboux type coordinate. For Poisson bracket. And then, like around 1980, in some preprint which was published like 20 years later, Fock and Chekhov constructed an embedding of some special situation here, like any g and s is equal to 1 or 2, as the symplectic leaves of this symplectic groupoid. So, what we try to do with Leonid Chekhov is find similar coordinates on the level of symplectic groupoid, kind of which Darboux type which behaves nicely with respect to this Bondal Poisson structure. And it seems that we managed to do that. It is done. And as an expected bonus, we also obtained similar like shear type coordinates also for genus two surfaces, which are closed. They don't have punctures, they don't have boundaries. And it seems that this construction was unknown before, and it's sort of new and seems like interesting. like historically, many people try to get nice coordinates for when the surface is closed. So one of the person who was involved that like Francis Bonachon, and their approach was is the following. That you can introduce fixtures marked point on your surface and construct the corresponding shear coordinates in this. Well, to construct shear coordinates, you have to introduce triangulation on the surface with vertices at marked points. So you do some triangulation. And then if you have this triangulation, you can compute and introduce the corresponding shear coordinates, you can introduce monodromy around this puncture. And then you put requirements that monodromy is identity. So this should lead to Hamiltonian reduction on this system of coordinates that you have. But the problem is that this reduction is complicated. So nobody was able to do it carefully and to obtain some kind of nice formulas. To our surprise, in our approach, this problem disappears. So we don't have to do any reduction at all. Okay. So maybe now let me give more details. So let me start with a detailed description of symplectic groupoid. Of unipotent upper triangular matrices. So let's denote by An the space of upper triangular unipotent matrices but let's assume that they are real. And a symplectic groupoid is a pair collection of pairs like n by n matrix and upper triangular matrix we satisfy condition that so we should treat this upper triangular matrix as a sort of bilinear form triangular form. So and condition is that if you apply change of variables provided by matrix B, then the result will still be upper triangular, unipotent upper triangular. Well, such object has a lot of structure. First of all, there are two projections from M to An. So where BA goes to source at target projection, so source map pair BA to A and target to well, A tilde, which is BA, B tilde. And then, of course, there are embedding. Well, this space of upper triangular matrices is called this space of object of symplectic groupoid, and B is a corresponding morphism. Now, there is this embedding which take A to identity morphism matrix A. Then there is inverse which act on the space of on symplectic groupoid, like R B A goes to B inverse B A B transpose. And there is also a sort of partial multiplication M, which take a pair of the type C B I B transpose and B A to the pair C B A. So like composition of to this morphism. So such a space of compatible pair we will call M2. And there is commutative diagram. M2 goes to, well, projection on the first pair give us is called P1. Projection on the second pair is called P2. And we can take target from the first pair. It is An, and source from the second pair to the same space, and its diagram is commutative. Now, a statement from Weinstein around 87, that there exists a natural symplectic structure omega on M such that pullback of omega by M is equal to P1 star of omega plus P2 star of omega. And this is a strong condition which more or less determines the symplectic structure uniquely. Now we can take this symplectic structure and, well, as we saw, there are two maps from M to An to the space of upper triangular matrices, S and T, taking it as source and target. And if you take push forward of omega, well, of the Poisson bracket dual to omega. To An is a Poisson bracket on A. And well, T star of omega star is equal to sort of negative. So they So one map is Poisson, another one is anti-Poisson map. Now, Bondal around 2000 computed explicit expression of Poisson bracket on An. And Let me probably skip the kind of explicit formulas, but point is that kind of the Poisson bracket on AM is so-called reflection Poisson metric, reflection Poisson bracket. Namely, it can be written as formally and as the following expression. So it's R A1 A2 plus A1 R T1 A2 minus A2 R T1 A1 minus A2 A1 R, where R is a trigonometric R matrix.
Sorry, the trigonometric R matrix lives in the full algebra. So how you're
sorry?
Doesn't the trigonometric R matrix live in GLN tensor GLN? Are you projecting it to the upper triangular part? Or?
Yes. Upper triangular part is kind of Poisson subalgebra. In
there. Okay.
And next remark is that there is a braid group action. On AM. So generators are given by transformation A goes to some special BII plus 1 ABII plus 1 transpose, where this special matrix is a matrix which depends on the corresponding matrix A. So it's like almost identity matrix, except that 2x2 block in rows and columns II plus 1. And here we have AII plus 1, negative 1, 1, and 0. Okay, well, this construction gives us the description of left part, left side of this picture. So we have the some family with described Poisson bracket, and now I think it's pretty well known. But let me just repeat. So this briefly Goldman Poisson bracket. So, well, shear coordinates on Tichmüller space J. So let's they're associated with choice of a fat graph representing the surface. So we, for each surface, we can draw the corresponding Kriban graph or fat graph. So example is like so for example, this corresponds to the torus this one hole. And then shear coordinates are assigned to the edges. Of this felt graph, and Poisson grid, Poisson bracket is determined by the adjacency of edges to each other. Namely, if you have two edges which are kind of attached to the same vertex, and here it's xi, here is xj. And from xi to xj, there is rotation anti-clockwise direction. Then Poisson bracket, xi and xj, well, has the term xi times xj, plus maybe something else if the other, so each endpoint, each common endpoint gives you kind of such term contributing to the Poisson bracket. For example, in this picture, you have x2, x1 is equal to 2, x1, x2, x3, x2 is equal to 2, x2, x3, and finally, x1, x3 is equal to 2, x1, x3. And this 2 comes from the fact that say H1 and H2 has two common edges, so each common two common vertices, each common endpoint give as contribution this product. Okay, now how one can describe coordinates on this space? So coordinates, another collection of coordinates on this space, well, natural functions now GS are given by something which is called geodesic function. So geodesic function is you take any loop gamma, and geodesic function g gamma is just trace of monodromy operator given well along this loop. So kind of abusing notation, I will use the same letter for the loop and the corresponding monodromy operator. So well. This Poisson bracket between shear coordinates induces as Goldman Poisson bracket on the algebra of geodesic functions. And this is well-known object. It's called Goldman-Poisson bracket. Okay. Now, very well-known fact. Let's consider very special surface, which looks like that. And let's label the inclined edges like 1, 2, 3, 4, and generally it's from 1 to n. Then for each pair I and g of inclined edges, let us draw the corresponding geodesic. For example, like that. And this geodesic we will call GIG. And we call this capital GIJ just the corresponding geodesic function for this geodesic. And to such surface, let's associate the following matrix. One upper triangular matrix, one on the main diagonal, and then here we just write element GIJs. This is construction by Fock and Chekhov, which claims that it is Poisson. This map is Poisson. It takes a Goldman bracket here into Bondel bracket here. And so the image, in principle, when n is 3 or 4, the image is, counting dimension, we will see that this is full dimension map, but for higher n, for n greater or equals than 5, the dimension of Tichmuller space is strictly lower than the dimension of the space of matrices, because here dimension grows linearly, and here dimension grows quadratically. So the image of kind of Tichmuller space in this space, it's sort of is a union of some symplectic leaves in symplectic groupoid. And the image, let's call this map phi. Well, we call image phi, it's a geometric leaf. So geometric leaf is just some union of symplectic leaves, which is covered, kind of, which correspond to geometric situation. So, for example, in this case, our matrix will look like G12, G13, G23. Like it's 3x3 matrix. And we know that for n equal 3, the image is like arbitrary matrix like this, of this type, with some extra inequality conditions. Okay, now, as we see here, if we describe Tichmuller space in terms of shear coordinates, then shear coordinates has very nice structure with respect to Goldman-Poisson bracket. So the Poisson bracket between shear coordinates is some constant times the product of the corresponding shear coordinates. So if you take logarithms of shear coordinates, you will get just constant Poisson bracket. So question is, while expression for this Bondel Poisson bracket is sort of, it's more complicated. It's also quadratic, but it doesn't have such a nice form. So question is it possible to find coordinates which behave like shear coordinates for symplectic groupoid? And the answer is yes, of course, and the idea of approach is using this cluster approach to cluster structure to type of Fock-Gonchar of coordinates for the case for description of matrices. So next topic is description of nice coordinates for symplectic group. So key hint is, symplectic groupoid is collection of pairs BA, and we claim that B determines A uniquely. So if matrix B is given, then it determines A uniquely. Not any B corresponds to, can enter such a pair, but let's write explicitly conditions. And to convince you, I don't want to give, let me probably just give example, N equal 2. So then B is B11, B12, B21, B22, and A is 11A. Zero, right? So we can do this complicated calculation. And what we get is B11 square plus B11A12, B12 plus B12 squared, something here, B21 squared plus B21, A12, B22, plus B22 squared, and some element here, B11, B21, plus B21, A12, B12, plus B22, B12. Now we want to study condition that this matrix is unipotent upper triangular, so which make this element equal to zero, right? And we have to also pose that this is equal to one and this is equal to one. So this implies that A12 everybody can solve it. So it's linear from this equation is linear for A12, and then we can substitute. So what we obtain is the determinant of B is equal to 1, and then B12 divided by B21 is equal to negative 1. So matrix B must satisfy these two conditions, and then it will imply that such A exists, and it's determined uniquely by the matrix B. Now, what are these conditions? Like in general, for n greater than 2, so we have condition that determinant B is equal to 1, and so if we split, if you're represent our matrix B in block diagonal form, such that this is K by K block BK, and this is block B hat N minus K. Then condition is that BK divided by B hat N minus K is equal to negative 1 power N minus 1. Remark. If you consider the standard Poisson-Li bracket, on GLN, then determinant and such ratios are Casimirs of this Poisson bracket. Determinant B plus all these expressions form a collection of all Casimirs with respect to standard Poisson-Li bracket on GLN. So let us denote by GLN circle, well, this all matrices B and GLN, which satisfy that determinant B is equal to 1 and BK divided by BN minus K hat is equal to negative 1 N minus 1. And what we obtain now is that we get a map from, well, first of all, this is a symplectic leaf. Of the standard Poisson-Li bracket. And then we obtain the matrix phi from GLN F to the direct product AN cross AN. So namely, so to the pair B corresponds to the pair A tilde. So like A is an object which associated to this morphism B, and a tilde, it's by definition, let me remind you, the tilde is target of the morphism. Okay, claim this map is Poisson. So if you take the standard Poisson-Li structure on the GLN, then, and here we take the direct product of, well, the bracket induced by the bundle Poisson bracket on the product, we'll get Poisson map. So this map is not one-to-one. There is a fiber of this map because A and A tilde are not independent in the image. For example, for N equal 3, so dimension of GL3 0 is 6, and dimension of the image of phi is 5. So there is one dimensional fiber here. So matrix B has one extra parameter on top of these two matrices. Okay. Now how to describe the nice coordinates here? So, well, really, after we consider this map, the coordinates are very simple because for matrices phi, there is for this space, the nice coordinate are given by the standard factorization. Well, I don't know, Lustig coordinate or Goncharov coordinates represented matrix phi as a product of some elementary matrices. The construction is well known. Let me probably just show you briefly the pictures which describe that. So kind of this picture is, it has many different names like network, networks, or corresponding Lustig decomposition, or kind of there are many odd names for the same construction. But the picture wise, it looked like that. So you might have like triangle, and so for encoding upper triangular matrices, you have such triangular pictures, and well, you have this directed graph, and you have weights assigned to the faces of this decomposition. So we can label these weights using barycentric coordinates, and then barycentric coordinates, there is a quiver describe Poisson structure between these barycentric coordinates, which kind of stand. This is cluster construction for representation for upper triangular matrix, except that it's modified a little bit. There are these corner elements which are absent in the original Fogel-Gontcharov construction. But it's minor thing, so.
In the construction, there were three flats, right?
Say it again?
In the construction, there were three flats, right?
There is?
Three flats.
Three flat?
Flats.
Yeah, right. So it is, you can think about that like Fogel-Gontcharov coordinates on the triple of frame triangle. Local framed local system in the triangle.
But you're talking about related to B. Even I missed it. So that
no. Well, I will tell you how to use that and construct the corresponding matrix. That I will tell. So this part is connected to symplectic groupoid. It's not connected to Tichmiller space.
Yes.
And it's sort of mystery how this one is connected to Tichmiller space. It's kind of okay. So, well, this construction is sort of simple. So you have these parameters which satisfy this very simple Poisson bracket, and then you can define, given this graph, you can define weight of path in the following way. So let's consider path going from the say right side to the left one, following the arrows like red path here, and you take the product of all weight of path is just a product of all phase parameters above this path. Well, in general, you have to look to the right of the path. And finally, you can construct something which is called transport matrix. So if you take entry I here and entry j here, you should take all paths connecting j to I and sum over weights of all path connecting J to I. This is standard Lustig construction.
In terms of the flats, right, so this...
Well, this flag is invariant under this transport matrix.
Right.
Yeah, so, well, point is that...
The fact here.
Exactly, right. So point is that this construction gives you not one transport matrices, but three of them. So it gives you simultaneously this one, and this one. Yeah, so it's slightly kind of modification. But for one, kind of, if you remove the bottom row, this is kind of classical Lustig construction. Okay, now in terms of this thing, we can write solution of this groupoid condition. So let me do that. How much? 15 minutes. So instead of one triangle, you have to combine two triangles together exactly as Fogel-Gontcharov do. And here you have like, as we described, free transport matrices. We call them T1, T1 bar, and T1 tilde. And here we draw transport matrices in opposite direction, T2, T2 bar, to tilde. Well, one can compute Poisson bracket for that. They satisfy R matrix Poisson bracket. I don't want to stop here. But, well, also there is, they satisfy groupoid condition. So kind of composition of T1 and T1 bar, it's T1 tilde inverse. So it doesn't matter if we go this way and that, or we go this way. And the same for the next triangle. So claim. Let B is equal to T2, T1. So meaning that we consider such monodromy. And take A equal to S T1 tilde transpose T2 tilde S T1 inverse, where S is inverse, well, second diagonal matrix, well, plus one, minus one, plus one, minus one, and so on. Yeah, and well, then.
Does A have any interpretation as a?
Interpretation of passing from one side to the next one. So S is kind of.
So the whole A, you go from S to.
Well, yeah, let me draw what it is. So this whole path is the following one. You start here, you go like T1, well, yeah. Kind of forget about this S. It is just change of orientation of basis here. So T1 tilde transpose means that you change the orientation of T1 tilde. So you go here, and then you return, you glue this side to that one, and then you return here and come back. But this gluing, since there is no S between that, this gluing happens like you kind of stealing my punchline. So this gluing goes like this change of orientation. So you will get something like Möbius strip. You will get local system on Möbius strip. Okay, then A tilde is given by, well, you can just compute it because it's B transpose, and it becomes S T2 bar inverse T1 transpose inverse S T2 transpose, which correspond to the following path. So you have to take this side, go down, and then glue this bottom side to the top one and return back from that. So, and then this, it means that this path correspond to some binary form. And well, there are two binaries, form A and A tilde, which correspond to this map and this one, and B is sort of change of basis from this side to that one. And this solution is unique.
What do you mean by unique?
It's completely determined by, I mean, so when we fix parameters, then for this collection of parameters, they determine this matrix B. A and A tilde are unique, which A and A tilde are determined by this matrix B. Mm-hmm. So, and as we discussed it before, it is A and A tilde are determined in a unique way.
As a cross cap with an irregular puncture?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're calling this a Möbius strip, but there is a triangular, there is a flat. To the edge of this Möbius strip, right?
Right. It's, well, the corresponding picture is like that, I guess. You have Möbius strip with two boundary mark points.
Yes.
And this is cross cap.
Yes, I got it.
And you have like one path like that.
Yes.
Another path like that.
It's very similar to what people do to get buttons.
Exactly, exactly, right. And then you have U matrix B is sort of like that. So from map from this side to that one. Maybe if you can explain, like, after what is connection to quantum groups, because I never saw in quantum groups anything like non-oriented.
Not.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I have like 10 minutes left, right? So I should finish at 2:30, right?
It's typically pretty flexible.
I want to make connection to surfaces. So, okay. So point is now we try to describe. As we discussed, everything is determined by matrix B, subject to some extra condition. So what I want to do, I want to draw the quiver, which exactly describe matrices B. From GL knot, GL circle. Okay, so here we need the second picture. Four pictures really. This is the corresponding quiver, as I explained, which associate not to one triangle but to two combined triangles, which correspond to what we described. Disappeared.
It's under.
Yeah, so we right here. So we have two triangles, we glue them together. Now it's easy to draw Casimirs of this Poisson bracket. So this is a Poisson bracket for the standard this quiver described in the same way as we did here. As a standard Poisson Lie bracket for 3x3 matrix. Casimirs here, picture description of Casimirs, what you have to do is just one line, one colored line correspond to the monomial, which you take this parameter raised to power 1, this parameter raised to power 2, and then product of all parameters on this curve, on this line, broken line with multiplicities, with exponents corresponding to what's written here. This is not exactly Casimir, but it is sort of will be component of Casimir condition. So we have two things here, and we have two things here. And then we have extra ink, which everything is drawn here. What I want to say is that identification of the top part with the bottom correspond to the amalgamation of this, of the corresponding quiver. So it means that we have to identify this top part with the bottom one. And when we identify two vertices, we just glue and glue vertices, and this vertex has all possible arrows adjacent to the first vertex or to the second one. So this is called amalgamation. So when we do that, all these things that I have drawn becomes Casimirs. And condition, this condition that I wrote here amounts to the condition that all these guys must be equal to 1. So meaning that, please note that to such line, there is kind of, it determines unique vertex here. And this determines unique vertex here. So what I want to say is that what happens as a result, so we have to erase left side, right side when we impose this condition. And we have to glue bottom part to the top one with kind of changing orientation. So for example, quiver that obtained after this operation here will look like that. Mm. No, sorry. Ah, yeah, this opposite. Right. Okay. There is a theory of cluster algebra. Well, cluster algebra mutations here. Which I have no time to describe, but idea is that you can do some kind of, well, what's drawn here is some sort of coordinates for our space GL node. Right, with encoded Poisson bracket. So one can do some sort of canonical transformation. We change coordinates and change the corresponding Poisson bracket in some specific way. And this is called cluster mutations. And I don't want to describe this technique, but it's sort of one can do that looking at this quiver. And well, who knows? Knows and... So what I want to say is that the quiver that, well, this quiver is equivalent after mutations to the following one. Okay, so it has six vertices as this one, but we do some transformation such that Poisson bracket will be have different form. And this is equivalent to the something which is pretty well known in this cluster theory. Well, this is called X6, and this is one of this quiver which is mutationally finite. So it's if you do mutations. Well, you will get either if you do mutations to this quiver, you will get only two types of this quiver. Either that or the kind of in terms of quivers, there are only two quivers which are mutation equivalent, which are mutation equivalent. That one and another one like that. Not for this one. It's not two. It's more, but. Anyway, there is finitely many quivers which is mutationally equivalent to that one. Okay. Good. Now let's come back to our map from GL3 circle to A3 cross A3. So, matrix B goes to A tilde, where A has a form 1, 1, 1, A 1, 2, A 1, 3, A 2, 3. Bondel described how to obtain Casimir of our Poisson bracket here. And in particular, here there is one Casimir, which is given by Markov element, Markov element M, which is a product of these elements 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 3, minus sum of squares. This is equal to basically determinant of A plus A transpose.
So the one punct tells this was the relation, right?
Say it again?
This is the relation for the one punct tells, right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So notice that if you do determinant of A tilde, plus A tilde transpose, it is determinant of B A B transpose plus B A transpose B tilde, B transpose. So you can write it as determinant B squared times the same Markov element. But the determinant of B, so by our condition, is equal to 1. So we see that Markov elements of A and A tilde must coincide. Okay, now this thing in geometry, it has a meaning. I try to describe to you embedding of Tichmuller space T11. Tau 1 1 to this A3, and in this case it's not embedding, but it's sort of full dimension map. Where here we describe hyperbolic structures on a torus with one hole, and the meaning of Markov element is the length, hyperbolic cosine of the length of geodesic going around the hole. Okay, so what we get here is like matrix A correspond to something which we can interpret as one torus with one hole here. Matrix A tilde, we can as interpretation as another torus with a hole of the same of the same length. And then we can glue them together. Right, but there is one parameter family of gluing. So, and recall that our map phi is not a 6 to 6 dimension map. So, dimension of pair A tilde is 5 because they have one parameter coinciding, exactly this Markov element. So, but B has dimension 6, which is extra one parameter. So, a hint is that maybe B encodes exactly the gluing of these two tori, one parameter of gluing. And bottom line, I don't know when you plan to stop me, but bottom line that it's exactly the case. Now I can give few details but feel free to stop me whenever you get tired of that. So okay. I told my punchline. Yeah.
Okay, but you could have been talking about just the space of SL2 connections, right?
Yes. This is space of SL2 connection. So what claim is that a symplectic groupoid for n equal 3 describes the space of SL2 connections on genus 2 surface with no boundary.
For higher genus?
There is some results for higher. For higher genus, it doesn't work so nice. But for dimension n equal 4, it corresponds to the genus 1, to the surfaces of genus 3. And it is still nice connection. You have like 2 to 3, 0, but quotient by some Z2 action, by extra symmetry. So, and you can also describe this space in terms of the symplectic groupoid. For higher genera, it's more complicated because you don't have a map onto. So you have to describe somehow the image of your embedding. And you should do some reduction, which probably can be done, but it's not, we are working on that right now. May I have like 5 more minutes or I'm done?
Maybe we can give a chance to those who need to leave and then continue for a few minutes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
There are more questions.
Okay. Thank you to brave people who decided. um, Okay, so what I want to say is the following, that okay, I will try to be brief. So in these terms, what we have is a picture like that. So we have some collection of parameters which we don't know geometric meaning of them. But in terms of these parameters, we can write expression for geodesic length of cycles like that. Well, sorry. This one. And this one. So, well, this can be done by having this association with 1-1 and A3. So the problem is to find, if you find expression for this one, then it's kind of, we have complete description. And fortunately, we were lucky and we found some formulas in terms of our parameters, which has the right Poisson properties. So, well, we can write these formulas. I probably don't want to do that. But if you have these formulas, we can also, okay, so let's call it GB. So fact, well, claim, GB is a Laurent polynomial in cluster coordinates, and well, how I denoted them. Well, A, B, C, D, E, F. Well, in reality, you have to do like one half, like square roots of this case. And moreover, you can write expressions of Den twists as cluster mutations. And well, from the general cluster stuff, it's known that you can do separately here on top part and on bottom part. But there is a problem for this GB. So when you do mutation, well, Den twist for the GB, tau B, you can write expression which generate Den twist, but it is not, it doesn't have cluster form. However, there is a fix for that. And fix is the following. So this is our quiver X6. And what you have to do, you have to introduce fixtures extra vertex G. Well, we had this A, B, C, D, E, F. And you have introduced this extra vertex G and kind of complete the quiver to such one. This condition, well, this is a quiver which has 7 parameters. It's also known in the cluster theory as another mutation finite quiver.
I remember from physics that the genus 2 moduli space has a deformation. Is this described by X7?
No, well, it's
the space of Lapton of the C2 Lapton actions on the genus 2 surface is part of a one parameter family.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so
yeah,
no, I don't think so, because well, let me just see. So what we have to do, we have to, well, this guy has one Casimir, which is A, B, C, D, E square, F, G.
Yes.
And we have to impose conditions that this Casimir is equal to 1.
That's
and this deformation will be when you change the value, this value. Yeah, yeah, this is true. So then mutation with respect to this quiver, when you fix this condition, will provide the Den twist with respect to this extra B. And so every, well, this is probably, and well, I don't have time to tell more, but.
Surface will take connections on the on this unoriented surface.
Yes, you can. No. Wait a second.
The formal monotomy at infinity, or is it something else?
Yes. Yes. I can write. Yeah. I can write this in terms of this non-oriented surface.
So what's the effect? Does it turn on a monotomy from monotomy to infinity or?
No. What do you mean infinity? It's not clear.
I mean on the integral of singularity of M1. But when you are going the feature right with the two paths, the integral of singularity of M1.
If we can discuss it after, so I'm not sure. So, well, we starting from that, we did some, we wrote some formulas for something which is called genus 2 Dacha, which may be related to your question. So, but it's a separate story. Okay. Anyway, so here is the end of my story. What I want to say is that now. Tichmüller space of genus 2 surfaces is completely described by mutations of by cluster algebra generated by this Quiver X7 modular, well, conditions that Casimir is equal to 1. And this condition has two different forms because when you do mutation, this Quiver becomes different. If you do mutation at vertex E, this Quiver becomes kind of different one. And then this expression transforms to just the product. Well, like new variables are equal to 1. So you have to take quotient in such quiver, you have to take quotient with this relation and then that one to the corresponding relations. But this is end of the story. And thank you for your, for being so patient.
Genus 2 Dacha, is this the thing related to the Hilbert scheme of points and cotangent bundle of the genus 2 surface?
I don't know. Really, it's kind of new for me. Well, I'm not sure about that. So there is paper by Artamonov and Shakirov. We just formally extended definition of the standard Dacha to the genus 2 Dacha, which means that you have six generators, like three commuting generators, like usual one, and three McDonald polynomials, which also commute, and with relations between them. And they wrote these formulas explicitly. I cannot say that I know interpretation of that, this Hilbert scheme of. Probably there is, but my claim that we know how to write expression for these operators, like you have like finite difference operators. You have to go to the corresponding quantum cluster algebra, and in terms of these cluster parameters, you can write expressions which realize this McDonald's polynomials and Todd Hamiltonians. So, those look very simple. So, double errors correspond to Todd Hamiltonians. And then when you do, you might do the sequence of mutations, you will get new double errors. And these new double errors will become McDonald's polynomials written in different cluster. And then when you kind of transform them back, you will get expressions which exactly correspond to what's written in Artamonov's. Okay, that's.
Well, if there are no more questions, we should thank the speaker again.
Thank you.